Well, if you have your printout, let's look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. You'll notice the title, Jesus, who is God, who is all-knowing, who is going to judge us one day, the believer and the unbeliever. He'll be judging us by the word of the living God. So it says, Jesus tells the church of Sardis to be watchful. Two things here. Number one, he's telling the church, get back to the basics. Get back to the basics. And secondly, he's saying, don't give in to the pressures that are around you. Don't give in to the pressures that are around you and get back to the basics. Well, let's begin with the introduction this morning. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, Jesus offered the believers of Sardis an answer to their deadly dilemma. To overcome being extinguished spiritually, he said. So let's listen to what Jesus has to say to a church that is spiritually dying. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Underline that word ready. The word ready in the language means sure to happen. So what is sure to happen if it is not corrected? More things are going to die spiritually in the church. For I have not found thy works. Underline the word works. Now here's what it means. You have not completed the assignment God gave you. You have not completed the assignment that God gave you. I want to ask you a question. I'm going to dig just a little bit this morning. How many of you here this morning know the assignment that God has given you? It's either a healthy yes or a, oh no, not me, I really don't know. So that is the question here. Then look at the word perfect. Perfect. The word perfect here means complete or mature. Let's reread it. Be watchful, Jesus says, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready, and that is sure to happen, to die. For I, Jesus Christ, have not found. Can I say something to you? Do you think you know this church well enough to say the right thing about it? I don't. I'm going to take what Jesus says here very seriously. And I want you to listen once again. He says, for I, Jesus Christ, God, have not found thy works perfect before God. Well, let's read on. Look at the words, be watchful. Be watchful. Three things here. Number one, be watchful in the Greek is Greek present imperative. It means be continuously vigilant and be continuously responsible. Be watchful has a second meaning. It means be constantly alert. And then there's that third meaning. It says, stay with me. Stay with me. So listen to what Jesus is saying to a church that thinks it's got it all and it is very successful. Be constantly alert, Jesus says. Stay with me, Jesus says. Be continuously vigilant and responsible, Jesus says. So we ask the question, why be constantly alert? Why stay with Jesus? Because pagan rites, and let me define pagan rites, they are defined as man-made activities and social services. Pagan rites had crept into the church. They were undermining people's beliefs in the gospel and also in Jesus Christ. The work of the enemy has come into this church through deception. And so Jesus says, be alert to that. Well, look at the word be below be watchful. It may surprise you what the word be means in the Greek language. It is genoi. Be means start where you are. If something has spiritually died in your life, don't agonize over it. But today, may it be a new day in your spiritual life, in your Christianity. So the word be means start where you are. In other words, take action today, take action tomorrow to get moving in the right direction. Then there's A, B, genoi, once again. It's also both a recognition of negligence and a command to start taking action. This church had become perilously inactive, and they needed to break free from their complacency and do something. Here's a little side note. Their self-satisfaction led them to give up their identification with Jesus Christ and their mission for Him. Spiritually, the church at Sardis was saying, "We're on solid ground. No one's going to knock us down." Yeah. Sure. Can I ask you a question? How many times have you already been knocked down as a child of the living God? Have any of you experienced that? Would you raise your hand, please? Thank you so much for being so honest. Well, look at point one. If you want to bring correction to any area of your life, whether it's losing weight, changing the way that you think, cultivating healthier relationships, or developing your spiritual life, you need to get up and get moving like Jesus Christ suggests. Well, let's look at the question. Number one, will this take time? The answer is yes, absolutely. A, will total transformation be experienced overnight? The answer is a big no to that question. Look at number two. So what do we do as Christians in Jesus Christ? Well, A, says simply start from where you are and each day be becoming the change you want to see that Jesus wants to be in your life. Well, look at that word watchful. The word watch means to be on your guard, to be very attentive. This word watchful denotes a watchful attitude of one who makes certain no enemy can successfully gain entrance into his life or into his place of residence. Thus, it means to be on high alert, an attitude that never lets up. Well, I've got some notes that you do not have. I know you're not surprised, so I want you to just sit back and listen, please. It has to do with the word watch. Watch. There is the counsel that is coming from Jesus Christ. It is a strong word. We should be very attentive to it. Watch and strengthen the works that still have some life in them. Remember, the church had the services, meetings, and ministries that were needed. Now think about that for a moment. The church was doing the very things that it was supposed to be doing. So what's the problem? What was wrong was the spirit of the people. Their spirits were not focusing upon Jesus Christ and His cause. Do you think we need to focus on Jesus? Do you think He needs to be in the center of attention in everything that we do? The answer is absolutely yes to that also. So their spirits were not focusing upon Jesus Christ and His cause. They were sitting in the services half asleep. It's okay. And allowing their thoughts to wander about instead of hungering for the Word of God. They were holding and attending the activities for the sake of fellowship. I talked to a good old Methodist the other day. He stopped his truck. We were over there visiting Shirley. And Shirley's still in rare form, if you don't know. He pulled over and he was in his pickup. He said, "I've got to go mow this lady's yard and that lady's yard and this lady down the street. And they have no husbands, and so I'm doing my best to take care of them." He said, "By the way, Terry, how did the church you have fare with COVID?" I said most of them are back at the moment. We never really did slow down. We kept on going. If you wanted to wear a mask, you could wear a mask. If you didn't, you didn't have to wear one. I said, really, we did real well. God blessed us really good. And very thankful for that. He said, you know, we had a lot that just quit going. They said it was easier to stay home and watch it on TV. In your pajamas, in your robe, drink you a cup of coffee. He said, but I didn't think that was right. He said, I think we need to go to church. For as God's people, we need fellowship. I said, that's right. And a lot of other things. But I let him talk. I knew what was fixing to happen. I've talked to a few Methodists before. He said, yeah, you know, it's all about fellowship. And if the preacher preaches a good sermon every now and then, that's a bonus with it. Well, I kind of grinned. I didn't want to correct him or start an argument right there. But it made me go back to the message this morning. Some people just go to church for fellowship, to meet people and have a great time and enjoy the activities of the church. And I've had one tell me, if I want a message, I'll just go home, turn TV on and see if I can find a TV preacher. I said, that's not the way it works. I said, God's asking you as a Christian to come to church, and fellowship is a part of Christianity. But I said, studying the Word of God is also a major part of Christianity. Amen. For how do you know you're in the right activities designed by God if you don't know the Word of God? If you're not asking Jesus Christ, what do you want me to do today? How can I really be submissive to you and glorify you today? The church is built not around man-made activities or social services. It is built around Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is centered around Jesus Christ. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection of Christ. It's about the Word of God received in you and bringing forth fruit unto the living God. It's about being a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer of the Word of God. Let me go back here. Their spirits were not focusing upon Jesus Christ. That was wrong. And His cause. What was the cause of Christ? Did you know what the cause of Christ is in your life at this moment? What is the cause of Christ in this church that we are in at this very moment? Or do we just think of things to do? Sounds good to me. Surely God will bless it. We've got it backwards. Ask God what He wants. And when you begin to carry out what He wants, then He's going to bless what you're doing because you're doing things in reference to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wake up this is. This church said to itself and all the members, we've got it going here. We've got a high attendance in Sunday school. And our worship is out of this world. And I know God is loving it. But what did Jesus have to say? You say your church is alive and well. But when I come and look at your church, you say, it is spiritually dying on the vine. Because you have stopped centering the activities of the church around me. You have stopped asking me what to do. So therefore, you're dying on the vine. Your salvation is great. But it is Jesus Christ who has saved you and given you purpose and given you responsibility. He has given you a reason for living. A reason for having an impact on this earth that you live on today. The Word of God is important, extremely important. And Jesus Christ There's no one else more important than Him. He is God. He is everything we need to live to be pleasing unto Him, and also our lives to be blessed and provided for. So when this church does anything, the center of focus is always and should be on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please listen. They were sitting in the services half asleep and allowing their thoughts to wander about instead of hungering for the Word of God. They were holding and attending the activities for the sake of fellowship and because it was the thing to do. The point to see is that the people were not alive, not spiritually, not to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were attending and participating because it was the thing to do and because it gave them a false sense of religious security. Religion is the most damnable thing on the face of the earth. And religion is going to send more people to a living hell than anything that exists. Well, here's the word watch again. The word watch, rouse yourself and keep awake. Become alert and alive to the Lord Jesus Christ and do the Word of God. Rethink why you and the church are on the earth. What is your calling? Why are we meeting together as a church? Why do you do things claiming the name of Jesus Christ? Do His work and carry on ministries in the name of Christ yourself. Watch is a command. It is not an option. It is also in the present tense, meaning the believer is to become a watcher, a follower, a disciple of the living Lord Jesus Christ. The believer is to always watch and make sure he is alive spiritually. Here's the question. How could a church be so active and well attended and have so many ministries and yet be dying? Let me answer that question. A dying church means, number one, to have a form of worship. What is a form of worship? It means these false teachers, they substitute their own brand of religion for true Christianity. They substitute their own brand of religion for true Christianity. And who is backing all of this? It is Satan and his demonic army. It is spiritual warfare that is coming into your church. It is to have a form of worship, but to deny the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the resurrection of God. Number two, to focus on activities instead of Jesus Christ. It really bothers me when parents say we have chosen a church based on activities for the youth. When I hear that, my response is, I hope you have chosen the church that Jesus has led you to.
Amen.
If Jesus is leading you to the church He wants you to be at, it means that there is something that He wants to do in you and through you at that church. Also, if you're going to the church where God leads you, I promise you He's going to take care of your children also. So don't pick the church the kids want. Pick the church that Jesus Christ wants you to be at to carry out His blessed will. That's where you're going to see the Spirit of God come alive. You're going to see the power of the resurrection alive. You're going to see a spiritual power you have not seen in other churches. Why? Because you are willing to listen and follow the instructions of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go. Number three, more concerned about formality in worship instead of alive in Jesus Christ. There are some Southern Baptists, it would blow their mind if the Holy Spirit really got to working in a Southern Baptist church. Well, let me tell you, it's coming here. You're on the cutting edge of it. not because of me. It's because that you have a Bible. It's because you open your Bible. It's because that you receive the Word of God as God has given it. You're willing to be totally obedient unto Him and let God do His work. And brother, because of that, God is going to break forth this church in revival. I believe that with all my heart, and I pray that I'm here to see it. To focus on activities instead of Jesus Christ. Number three, more concerned about formality in worship instead of alive in Christ. Why do we like to be more concerned about formality? Because we don't want to embarrass anybody. We don't want somebody visiting to walk away from here and say, Hainesville Baptist Church has lost its mind. It has now gone crazy, and I'm not going to go back there. No, the honest truth is, for the first time probably, you're getting a taste of reality in Jesus Christ. Reality of the Holy Spirit of God. Reality of obedience to the Word of the living God. And therefore, God is providing for us like nobody else in the area, because you people expect it and you're willing to say, God, what do you want me to do? How do I need to love you more? How can greater glory be brought unto you? How can I have a greater impact on this church where you have put me? Let me tell you something. It is time to have a holy boldness. It is time to be holy in the face of politics and to be bold in the face of politics. I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I am not an independent. Let me say this. I am Christian and I lift up Jesus Christ because I believe that Jesus Christ has the answer. It is not in politics. It is not in our government. It is all in Jesus Christ and in the Word that He has given us. What is the Word of God? It is absolute truth. It is absolute reality. And it's high time that people need to hear the truth and the reality that has come from Jesus Christ, that He has everything under control and that He is sovereign God, always has been, always will be, that is never going to stop. So God, not the government, not the Democrats, nor the Republicans are in control. All right, here we go. Number four. Hold services and activities for social fellowship instead of for spiritual growth and edification. Then number five, to become complacent and lazy in the study of God's Word in prayer and spiritual growth. Listen closely. They thought. Why are churches not the powerhouses they should be? They are thinking too much about what they and the church need to do. What needs to happen in the church. They thought they were right with God, spiritually pleasing to Him. My friends, the next time you pray, why don't you add those two words? Well, God, I thought. He said, you know, the problem is you're thinking. He said, you and I are not together on our thinking. You should pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, tell me the truth of Hainesville Baptist Church. We think we got it all going. But you know what? I want to know what you think. I want to know what you want to start down here. I want to know what you want to begin down here so we can see a God-fearing, God-powerful revival take place at Hainesville Baptist Church. They say, man, just get the right preacher down there, it's going to happen. Get the right music service down there, it's going to happen. No, when God's people begin to call on God and mean it, and get down on their knees and say, Heavenly Father, your blessed will be done. And give me the understanding that is needed to get out of the way and let the truth of God and the reality of God find its place here at Hainesville Baptist Church. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, please. You know what this is. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. A lot of Baptists really don't like to hear this, but that's okay. You'll get over it. Here we go, verse 21. Back up to verse 20. So then you will know them by their what? I do not see profession of faith there. You can run your mouth. You can talk all you want. But if there is no fruit, there is no root in Christianity. So then you will know them by their fruits, by their denomination, by their profession of faith. Not everyone, you might want to underline those words, not everyone, some will, some won't, not everyone who says, underline the word says, there will be many sayers who were not doers. There will be many sayers who were not doers. Well, Brother Terry, when I was small as a Southern Baptist, I was taught if you'll make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. If you make a real profession in Jesus Christ and you are spiritually born again, you will bear the fruit of it. If there is no fruit of it, the Bible says you're simply a sayer and not a doer. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will, underline the word will. I'll ask you again, where do you find the will of God? In the Word of God. So the Word of God is the will of God. Who does, underline that word does, but he who does not what he wants to, not what he thinks is best, but what he does according to the will of my Father who is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Well, that sounds good. And in your name cast out demons? That's getting better. And in your name perform many miracles? Boy, that would really convince a lot of people. Then he says in the next verse, 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. What is he saying? Not for one moment did I know you. But Lord, I did all these good things. I mean, my name's on a church roll down at Haynesville Baptist Church. I walked the aisle. I got baptized. I made a profession of faith. So I'm saved? What does the Bible say? You can say you're saved all you want. But what's the evidence of a spiritual salvation? Fruit. It is doing the will of the Father. It is living by the word of the living God. Back to the Bible. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. For you refuse to carry out the Father's will. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who habitually practice sinlessness. 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And that's another story. Back to the printout. Page 2. Strengthen in the Greek. And strengthen the things which remain. Look at the word strengthen. Strengthen in the Greek language was used to picture a stake that was used to hold up and direct a vine upward. Its purpose is to provide support and direction for growth. By using this word, sorizo, Jesus was telling the church of Sardis and us to do whatever we can do to support personal, spiritual growth to a continued reaching up toward the Lord. This word strengthens, sorizo, is also used to describe something fixed and solid, like a column that holds up the roof of a house. Spiritually speaking, the roof was caving in at the church of Sardis, and they needed to do something to hold it up. This word strengthen describes the adding of strength and support to something that already exists. This means if you're in a difficult, unpleasant situation, you can do something to change it. Well, there's that strengthen the things which remain. Look at the word remain. Remain means that what is left over are still there. At this point, many good things had already died. So Jesus was encouraging them to start strengthening the good things that still had life in them. Does that remind you of some people? So much has died already within them. But yet there are some things worth supporting, worth being raised up to feed in a nourishing way. Listen to what he says. Remain means what is left over or still there. How many of you have ever said, Terry, there's nothing left over? There's nothing there in me anymore. May I say to you, quit listening to Satan. There may have been a lot of things already dead. But if there's a few things alive and remain, listen to what he says. At this point, many good things had already died. So Jesus was encouraging them to start strengthening right now, today and tomorrow. Strengthening the good things that still had life in them. Then look at the word ready. Ready refers to something that is about to happen or occur. Jesus is warning that something was about to die right now. It's as if Jesus was yelling and warning them, friends, you're right on the edge of dying. Look at that word, die. Die here means to have one's life removed or suspended. To end what used to be. This word can also describe the closure of a season or chapter of time. Jesus was urgently cautioning the believers, saying, if you don't take action, your life is about to be cut off. The great season of spiritual growth and productivity you are having is going to close if you don't do your part to experience a resurrection in Jesus Christ. That I would put on the icebox door. How many times have you said, I'm just no good. Useless. There's nothing in me alive anymore. I assure you there's something. And take that something that's for you. I'm not looking anywhere else. I try that. There's enough in you alive. You let him have it. It's time to quit messing around, isn't it? There's a power waiting to explode, and it's in you. Are you ready? Are you? most gracious Heavenly Father. You know what this church is. You know what it's really like. Save us from self-satisfaction. Save us from the statement that says, too much in me has died. There's no hope for me, the devil says. Maybe some things have died in so many of us. We're not on fire like we used to be. We don't get in the Word like we used to. We don't pray like we used to. We just come to church and say, okay, it's another service, it's another day. In an hour, it'll be over with. I don't know about you, but no, we don't have a perfect church, and there are none that exist. For the church is for people who are sick, and I got news for you, we're all sick. And so the best thing we can do when we come into the house of God is not only praise Him and worship Him and adore Him, give glory to Him, for He is worthy, but open up the Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, give us the spiritual understanding of God's spiritual Word that we need today, right now, in our lives to make it today and start tomorrow. Father, we've been messing around, some say. We've been playing with things in our lives, Lord, that are just irritating, eating on us little by little. Satan's having a heyday with it. Honestly, I'm really tired of it, people would say. But I don't know what to do. I know the truth will set you free. And I know there's some here today that need to be set free. Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's other stuff. But Father, here today, what this service is all about is Jesus Christ in our midst. Do what you need to do, Jesus. Bring healing. In so many ways, healing needs to come. Father, lift up your people. Lift up your people. May they feel your embrace. May they feel your love. May they feel your greatness. May you move upon their lives and in their lives. Bring them where they need to be in reality. Bring them out of a funk. Bring them through the door. Bring them out. In Jesus' name, He knocks on the door. And the doorknob's on your side, brother, not His. Open the door. Let Him come in. Let Him do what He needs to do. In Jesus' name, we ask these things for His glory. Amen and amen. Will you stand?